Well, good morning once again. Hey, Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your love that you displayed on a cross 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Lord, that you saved a sinner, a wretch like me. There are no lost causes for you, Lord. There are no lost causes for you. The only thing that gets in the way is the decisions we make, whether we choose you or we don't. And Lord, this day, we choose you. Fill this place with your love. Fill this place with your spirit, with your word. Fill our hearts with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd open up heaven for us and you'd pour out your blessings on us. Not because we deserve them, but because it's who you are and it's what you do. We come here seeking your face, seeking your ways, seeking you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 21. God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You notice there's a reason for what he did. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our opening scripture this morning was from Leviticus. Why do we bother with Leviticus? Oh, Leviticus. I'll just skip over that and go straight to Numbers, right? We bother with Leviticus because it's about Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. All the sacrifices, all the laws of holiness, it's all about Jesus Christ. Every sacrifice bears a there's a characteristic of Jesus involved in it. It all points to him. In Exodus chapter 12, it talks about the lamb offered as a sacrifice, the blood of the lamb put on the doorposts of the house. Guess what? That's about Jesus Christ. I think most of you have figured that out. Leviticus is a very interesting book. There's a lot of details. God is always concerned with details. Every little thing, every word in the Bible, every little thing detailed in Leviticus is important. Leviticus 6, 8 through 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes outside the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. What's the one thing that will never be affected by fire? Ashes? think so. The fire on the altar. There's two parts to this. There's two sides of it. Number one is about judgment. There is a fire. There's a consequence for sin. A just God cannot overlook our sin. A just God will not wink at our transgression and tell us, that's okay, don't worry about it. I was young and foolish myself one day. No, God's not going to say that. He's not going to, he can't look at our sin. He has to deal with it. He has to provide a solution for it. Fire. Mark 9:44-49, Jesus said three times about hell, where the worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. I don't believe in annihilation in hell. I believe that it lasts for eternity. I'm not going to lessen the degree or the severity of it any. Some do. Where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched, it's not extinguished. If God would ever extinguish the flames of his judgment, don't you think he would have done it for his beloved son? He couldn't then, because Jesus Christ became sin for us. He couldn't even look at him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to turn his face, his back, away from the son. For the first time in eternity. Can you imagine how empty that made Jesus feel? I believe when he was praying in the garden that the main thing he was praying about, the one thing that he could, obviously he wasn't looking forward to the pain, but yet I think that the thing that really bothered him about it the most was the Father is going to turn away from him. God's judgment is very real. He takes it very seriously. The second thing is his grace. The way of escape. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has a solution. Before the foundation of the world, before man was even created, let alone sin, he had a solution to sin. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The way of escape. There is a fire. It burns all night long. It consumes all. In Hebrews 12:29, it says, our God is a consuming fire. But there's an altar. And on that altar, there's a sacrifice that takes our place. An innocent sacrifice. A sacrifice with no spot or wrinkle, no blemishes whatsoever. A perfect sacrifice that takes our place. God's grace is very real. And he takes it very seriously. I'm going to read verse 10 again. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh. The linen garment represents purity. In Revelation 19:8, it talks about the bride of the Lamb dressed in white linen. I remember when I was ministering in the jail, they had jumpsuits they wore in Crook County, Oregon, that they were white. And I used to tell people, you know, when we get to heaven, you're all going to be dressed in white. And they, what? I said, no, it's not going to be dingy like it is. It's going to be so bright and so white that you're going to have to put sunglasses on, like that soap commercial they had a few years ago. But the linen represents purity. And the white is bright. That represents purity also. The priest... that makes the offering is a type of Jesus Christ in his role as our great high priest. Hebrews talks about our great high priest, Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, verse 14, chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 10, 21, actually all through Hebrews, we see references to the high priest. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. He doesn't put it someplace where it's going to block the fire. We're going to be constantly reminded of that fire. But it's going to be on display so we'll know that there was something that was burnt. There was something that was sacrificed on that altar. We have an altar we look at too, don't we? It's that cross up there. And in actuality, that cross had bloodstains on it. That blood came, from Jesus Christ. There was something offered on that. You couldn't look at the altar without seeing the result of the fire, the product of that altar. The fire produced the ashes from the sacrifice. The ashes are evidence that something was sacrificed. An onlooker could look at all this and honestly say, my sins caused that to happen. Does that sound familiar? When we look at that cross, my sins caused that. There's an argument about who crucified Jesus. I did. You did. But he allowed it to happen, didn't he? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Because he knew what the final result was going to be. The sacrifice took my place that should have been me. There are two thieves that were sacrificed with him. One of them was saved. One of them was saved so we'd have hope. But only one so we wouldn't be presumptuous. We still have to make that choice, don't we? It's not automatic. Sin has consequences. There's a penalty for it that has to be paid. Isaiah 53 is a beautiful chapter of the Bible. I'm going to read some selected passages from it. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He shall bear their iniquities. He has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's us. So what's the one thing that will never be affected by God's fire of judgment? Us, if we have Jesus Christ in our heart, if we've accepted his free gift of salvation. Charles Spurgeon has a little bit of a different take on verse 13. I'll read that again. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. He associates it with prayer. Is your prayer life full of fire? Do you take your prayers, wrap your heart around them, and with everything that's inside you, with all you are, throw it up as hard as you can to God? James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. effectual. That's a word we use all the time, isn't it? Actually, we kind of do. It means to be active, efficient, to be mighty in. Does that describe your prayers? Does that describe my prayers? I have to be honest, not always. Fervent, to be hot, to boil, to glow, to be earnest. Once again, does that describe our prayers? It availeth much. Availeth means to be able, to prevail, to have power, might, or strength. Spurgeon also associates verse 13 with the heart. Is your heart on fire for the Lord? Does desire for Him and His righteousness burn deep inside you? Does your love for Him burn like a fire in your heart, in your life, in your entire being? I think of David. You read it in his Psalms. The fire that he had for the Lord. The zeal, the enthusiasm that he had for the Lord. David loved the Lord. And you know what? The Lord loved David. As I said earlier, the priest is a figure of Jesus Christ. You know what's amazing about that? Is what we have in that situation, we have the sacrifice offering the sacrifice. Isn't that amazing? And as I said earlier, the linen garments are a figure of His purity. How are we supposed to react to that? How many times in the Bible does it say, "Be holy, for I am holy"? I think Trudy mentioned it during testimony times. And she was talking about Romans 12, I'm sorry. Present yourself a living sacrifice unto God. He sacrificed Himself for us, so we should be sacrificing ourselves to Him. Romans 8:29 tells us we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Commentator Albert Barnes says this about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase "to put on a person," which seems a harsh expression in our language, was one not infrequently used by Greek writers, and means to imbibe His principles, to imitate His example, to copy His spirit, to become like Him. In Ephesians 4:24, Paul speaks about putting on the new man. And you know what? We don't just do that once. We have to do it regularly. We have to do it every day. Some of us have to do it more than once a day. I won't mention any names, Wayne. You know, the disciples of the first century referred to following Jesus as being of the way. We are called to be imitators of Jesus. We are called to be of the way. Is it difficult? Is it too much to ask? No. He did more than that for me. So there you go. Lord, help us to be what You want us to be. Lord, I was reading this morning about the caterpillar who builds a cocoon around itself and it changes into something beautiful. A caterpillar that was just crawling on the earth. A lot like some of us were doing, Lord. Yeah, I got home all right. Someone stepped on my hand as I came around the corner, but that's... But Lord, you're making something beautiful out of us. And it's going to be revealed just who and what we actually are. Lord, help us to seek your ways. Help us to be more like you. Help us to show your love to others. Your word says, he that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And you will, Lord. I don't know about anybody else. Well, I guess I do. But I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product. But most of all, Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Have your way in our lives. Help us to be like you. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your presence here. And, of course, your gift of salvation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to come talk to me. I don't want anybody to leave this house without him. Lord, we thank you for all things. Bless your people today and keep us safe. Keep us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes our service.